go. One, two, a one, two, three.
Game on, game on, it's game time. Excellent. Game on, game on, it's game time. Excellent.
Everybody, Pete, finishing off the good old social media promotion because we've got to do that.
I put in the hashtag for Diablo to get stuck into some things. This is great. These are some hashtag suggestions. Diablos does Dunzantes.
I understood that.
Diablo Immortal. Diablo Immortal. That's almost like one of those. here we go. I get why they've done this now because it's something we're talking about later on the show. Hashtag Diablo Immoral.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
It must be a good one because your partner Cam is here tonight and he looked up and he laughed when I said that out loud.
Oh, so, no. Don't give more validation. Like, don't encourage it.
Jesus. Hello. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. I've got to put my glasses.
Does that mean you can't see the screen?
I'm squinting.
I can't see it either. I don't know why.
I can see Gamma. And is it Jacob?
Jacob Brantow.
Did you say Jacob?
That's what it looks like.
Jacob Rantle.
Oh, you see, you're clever. You've got it on your phone. That's what I should have done.
And you,
who's Jacob Rantle?
It's Jacob, obviously.
Or is it Jaco Brantle? Or is it Jack O'Brantle? And he's Scottish.
I think you're thinking about this too much.
Is he? Or is it Jacques?
It's too much.
Jacques O'Brantle. Or is it Jacques O'Brand Tall? Maybe he's a tall bloke. His name's Jacques O'Brand.
Maybe.
I'm really curious now.
Been following since May 2022.
So that's last month.
No, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
May 2022, of course, on Twitch right now. And good hello to you on the podcast. Can I just tell you guys that since the 1st of June this year, Lord Hardnips has been following us.
What a great name.
Well, I'm really disappointed. I've never seen him before.
Did they follow off stream? When did they follow us?
I don't know. Well, the 1st of June.
Was that Friday?
No, this time next week.
This Last time week? Next week. Oh, no. God, that is some weird.
Brain.
Like future past shit.
I just know.
No, it was last Wednesday. He jumped on last Wednesday. Exclamation mark followage. Well, welcome. Welcome to the Goal Weekly show, guys. It's lovely to see you both.
You guys had a good week
so far? Public holiday Monday here in Perth. More gaming time.
God. Oh, yeah, it was a public holiday on Monday.
What did you guys do with your public holiday?
What did I do with my public holiday?
I spent it so well that I can't remember.
From the audience.
That was on Saturday. What did we do on Monday? I'm pretty sure we just slept in a lot. Actually, no. I had a late night the night before. No, actually, I went and met a friend of mine.
Jesus Christ. I remember now. God. I regret asking.
Okay, no, listen. Tactfully, I had a really late night the night before.
Yeah.
And on a few hours sleep, I went to meet one of my friends for coffee. Yeah, I don't think I went to sleep till like 3 a.m. I met one of my friends for coffee in the morning. At like 8 a.m. in the city.
Good for you.
Went back home and was like, oh, I'm awake now. I'm going to do things. I fell straight back to sleep. And
good for you. Like
2.
Getting coffee while it's still cheap because it's not going to be cheap for long like everything else with inflation. But that's politics. We're not here to talk politics. We're here to talk gaming.
That's it.
What did you guys get up to on your public holiday then?
I can't remember.
See? It's not easy now, is it? You're laughing at me for not remembering.
I'm pretty sure I slept in and then played video games.
Yeah, how's that any different from any other day?
Well, normally weekends I play hockey as well.
Oh, yeah.
Although it's a long weekend, so we get a general bye. So,
Grumpy's here, bucket hype. You know it.
Bucket hype! Bucket hype!
Hi, Simmy Cat. Monday, I cleaned my house.
Good on you,
it sounds productive.
Good on you.
Also a waste of time.
If you don't know what bucket hype is, and we're not going to tell you, you just have to keep listening for longer, for more.
go follow us on socials. You might find out.
There's a picture in a Discord.
Coming up in the show today, you guys, we've got plenty to talk about today, don't we?
We do.
A lot going on in the games space and things that we want to cover off. But should we do bloody good games of the week?
Yes.
I think we should. I think we've got some good ones to talk about. So let's have a look.
Am I starting off this week?
Oh, that's right. I cooked meat.
You cooked meat.
Hang on.
No, don't ruin the meat moment.
Turn that down.
I cooked meat. Thank you, Styx.
Is this the one you did a reel on?
Yeah.
Did you like my reel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harvey Beef.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you like my reel?
I really liked it.
It was a good reel,
wasn't
it?
I liked it.
With your barbecue rub?
When do we get some?
No, it wasn't with the barbecue rub. If we are going to get onto this topic, it was hashtag sponsored.
Fortnite's got to wait.
Yeah, pause Fortnite. It was pre-rubbed.
Ooh.
Yes, so I can recommend that. I'm not usually a guy for the pre-packaged sort of stuff, pre-done stuff, but I must admit, it was very good.
So when are you going to bring some to the Wheatley Show?
I don't know. When I can be bothered. Mm. Another public holiday.
I got zucchini slice in the first show in here when you were at home.
My wife cooked zucchini slice. Mm. But I digress. So Raven bloody good Sky. Game of the week. You're doing Fortnite.
Raven Sky, thank you for the sub as
ready.
Well.
13 months.
Bloody awesome.
Okay, so this is my bloody good game for the week. So no one judge me here. Oh, Gamma, thank you as well for the gifted sub to King Cow.
King Cow.
So, yes, I have decided since no build mode is still in effect that I was going to play some more Fortnite. And coincidentally, when I played it on Monday, it was the start of the new season. So I believe this is chapter 3, season 3 of Fortnite. And yeah, Gamma, you're right. No build mode is fun. So much fun. Because I can't build to save my life. Charlie, thank you for the 100 bits.
He wants Pete's beanie though.
Yeah. So this chapter is called Vibin. Now I didn't realize how much they added to this new season. I didn't even know the new season started until someone told me when I was streaming it Monday night. So basically you can see here they've added Darth Vader. So Darth Vader and Indiana Jones, I believe, will be part of the battle pass. As well as that, there are bouncy mushrooms. There's something called reality. I didn't even know what they were called until today.
They got reality saplings. There's a Weber.
They're vibing. Yep. They're just vibing.
There's like dance floors and stuff in this area here. I can't remember.
Are these the giant mushrooms that you're telling us about, the new ones?
You can jump on some of them, yeah. And then you're in these little balls, and there's like an amusement park ride called the Screwballer ride.
This is sick.
It was really fun, right? So there's a dance floor in the middle. So my mates and I, there's a squad of four of us, and I kind of just forgot I was playing Fortnite because I was like, woohoo! And I was in like the balls.
You'd be spending a lot of time exploring, wouldn't you? Because there's so much new stuff.
Yeah, well, like, that's the thing. Like, I am pretty new to Fortnite. This is like some of this new area they're showing in the new season as well. But what they've added is really, really cool. Just keeps it nice and fresh. But yeah, as well as that, there's some new weapons. There's a two shot shotgun, a DMR, and a hammer assault rifle, which I'm still mucking around with. The DMR is pretty fun. And then as well, you can ride some of the wildlife. So I was like jumping on a boar, and like you could see that.
A boar.
Yeah. What else do you call it?
I just like the way you said it.
A boar. And very American way of saying that.
A boar.
How do you not say it?
A boar.
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 Or wolf. I'm not going to say boar.
Actually,
again.
That's a wolf.
Yeah. So you can ride on them.
Wolves and boars.
Yeah, and if you like double jump, you can ride them, which is quite fast. And I quite like it because it means I don't know if you can get trampled by them because my teammates just loved trying to. Drive trucks into me that night. But yeah, look, I'm really enjoying it. It's a really fun new season just to muck around in. But that's been my bloody good game of the week. And I'm halfway tempted to try and get Darth Vader because obviously all the hype at the moment is Kenobi.
I'm really surprised that we're only seeing Darth Vader now. Okay, let's think about this, okay? We had Naomi Osaka before we had Darth Vader. That to me is just weird.
I think it is because I think when the Force was it? No, it might have been Rise of Skywalker. They debuted the trailer for Rise of Skywalker in Fortnite.
Yeah.
And I think there might have been a Stormtrooper or something that came out then.
Yeah, I remember all like the new trilogy characters coming in. Hmm. But maybe they haven't done Darth Vader to now because they did do Obi-Wan before this.
Oh, no, I 100% believe they haven't done it till now. It's just incredibly surprising considering, like, the characters that have preceded Darth Vader.
Yeah, it's been really enjoyable. Also, Simi, thank you for the 100 bits as well.
Does she want Pete's beanie as well?
Maybe. Everyone's after your beanie.
Why do people want me beanie? Not because it's cold and people want beanies.
Gamma says they've done the Imperial Stormtrooper. Gamma and also says John Wick and the T-1000.
John Wick would be amazing.
You know what? Like, don't get me wrong. I love all the characters they bring to Fortnite, but there was just something really frustrating that angered me when I got shot and downed by John Wick, and he just did one of the dumb Fortnite dances in front of me, and it just made me really, really mad because it's kind of like
somebody killed your dog or something, and you had to go on a rampage.
That kind of anger. It was just something about seeing like the Keanu Reeves John Wick do a Fortnite dance in front of me after he killed me.
I got the movie reference.
I love that movie.
Just kind of felt like you just didn't give it enough, but that's okay. Whatever.
Oh.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, but you didn't react.
Anyway, that was my bloody good game of the week.
I cannot believe how many characters there are in Fortnite now. This is ridiculous levels of characters.
I admitted this to you guys too. Like, I think the only things I bought in Fortnite at the moment was enough V-Bucks to get, like, this Resident Evil pack. Mm-hmm. And to get the minimum amount of V-Bucks I needed for the pack, I had to get $30 worth of V-Bucks. And even then, I'm still missing two Resident Evil weapons that weren't included in that bundle. So now I just feel incomplete.
Girl!
I know, and I bet you have
to get them from loot boxes.
No, you can get them individually, but I can't justify it. Gamma, thank you for another 100 bit. Thank you for 100 bits. And also, Simi, thank you for another 100 bits.
They were trying to
get
us to a hype train.
Oh!
We missed it. We missed it by like 11%.
Sad choo-choos.
This is why, guys, you need to get as many people into this chat as you possibly can. Go and tell your friends.
We're so close.
Get that hype train going.
Hi, you know, Ariane.
Really excited for us to hit like 75 concurrent viewers for an entire month and get partner. That's what I'm really excited for, even though we already have partner. Whatever.
But yes, Fortnite is my bloody good game of the week.
Okay, well, that's bloody good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aussie Broadband. Bloody good game of the week. Bloody good. Is this yours?
This is my one. So this is one, I think it popped up in an email for me. Oh, that's hard as well. Let's get that down. Sorry for your eardrums, people. So
I like the look of it already.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
Is this Fortnite?
Yeah. I was like, this is very Fortnite-esque.
No, I will admit it's very like that sort of art style, but it's a little adventure sort of hack and slash type game. And there is a demo on Steam at the moment that you can play. And that's what I was playing, because I looked at this trailer and I went, this is amazing. I just love the look of this. I love the sort of combat where you like I kind of want to put it in that Death Store style of game where you're dodging and you're running, got different weapons. There's a little bit of puzzle solving in it as well. So if you want, go try out the demo there. You can see for yourself. It's pretty short. It's only the first little bit of the game, as demos tend to be, just to give you a bit of a taste. It also doesn't show off much of the game. Like, you know, there was a lot of stuff in the trailer that we see, like there's freezing bits and a bit more of the combat. There wasn't a whole heap of combat, but it was basically sort of the first half hour of the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, do you feel like we have a lot of these types of games? And here's why I asked that, right? Hi, Doormat. Good to see you in chat, mate. Here's why I asked that. Like, I feel like I am seeing quite a lot of the indie top-down roguelike. You know what I mean? Like, I'm almost struggling to get into... Like, I'm starting to get to the stage where I'm like, oh, okay, another indie top-down roguelike.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Well, this one's not roguelike. This is adventure. So the stuff that you get, and I don't know why the ad just decided to play there.
But the way that it looks.
Yeah. And look, it does kind of feel like it's a little bit of the flavor of the month, but I feel like that comes and goes. Like Roguelites in particular got just huge for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Hades came out, Returnal came out, and there's a whole heap of indie games like Deathloop's gone.
No. I don't know why I said that.
Well, not quite, but no. Yeah.
Brain just turned off.
Mario Kart. I'm Mario Kart.
No, don't.
Yeah. but I will say, like, I don't particularly enjoy roguelikes.
Is it roguelite or roguelike?
There's both.
I've heard both.
So it all comes, the history of it, it all goes back to a really, really early PC game, and I say early, from the 90s, called Rogue. And it was a permadeath game. So you died, you lost everything. So roguelike is where you die in the game and you lose everything. Roguelite is where you die in the game, but there might be some upgrades that you get that you keep. So like Hades is a roguelite.
Yeah, got you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Learn a little bit of stuff, guys.
I'm full of something.
Hey, I'm going to go with good information.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're going with that one.
Yeah, with that one.
But yeah, so... But I do feel like there is a little bit of these adventure games that are coming out now. And, like, I've sort of noticed it a bit more since Death's Door came out. And Death's Door was a beautiful game. And I highly recommend it to everybody. It's on Games Pass as well, so go play it if you've got Games Pass. But Tunic came out. But
Tunic.
You could go back further than that and say, like... And I try not to make this comparison because it seems every second game says this, but Zelda-like, you know?
Mm. Yeah, man.
And I just think it's an unfair comparison to make for some of these games. But, like, yeah, it's an adventure game that's been around since the dawn of time. The style has been around for years.
So this is what it says to me, right? It says to me, in the first sort of 15 minutes, half hour... When you start to feel like, okay, this is very similar to a lot of games that I'm playing at the moment, bit of flavor of the month, is there then the content of this game has to be unique and different enough to grab you, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So did that happen?
Reasonably, yes. But like I said, it was only the first half hour, and the trailer for me more has grabbed me. And it looks
more
like...
More than a demo has?
Yeah. Mm. So the demo has promise... But it's still very basic. Like, you don't even get your weapon until about halfway through the demo.
Yeah, right.
But and there is a little bit of that exploring, because once you get your weapon, you open up other paths and stuff like that. So it's interesting enough for me that I'm going to be looking at it when it gets released. And I'm not exactly sure. Well, it says summer 2022, which will probably be a US date. So
that should soon. Be soon. Very for soon. Us. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. In amongst it now, you can hear the rain coming over the top of the factory.
Mm.
The factory.
Also, FatGamer1975, thank you for your Prime sub as well. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Fat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, that's my bloody good game of the week for Aussie Broadband.
Good work, mate. All right, time for
your
mine.
Turn.
Let's go. Right, let's get it over to
I'm
there.
Getting
let's show it. Hashtag Diablo Immoral.
After him. Quickly.
After him, quickly. I'll secure the gate. I did this part. Can I just say, there's a lot of this kind of talking in this game throughout the entire thing. It sounds and it feels like a Diablo game through and through.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing. That's what you want if you're playing a Diablo game.
I can't believe I'm saying for a mobile game. Now, I feel like by saying for a mobile game... I'm already doing an injustice to mobile games because I feel like they've come a long way. They've come a hell of a long way. Mobile games are on par with console and PC games. That's the quality we're getting to now. Diablo is taking it to another level again. Honest to God, I feel like I'm playing a good, proper, I'm sitting at my PC, Diablo game.
Mm.
The moment that I jumped into this, and from the very beginning, the thing that I noticed quite early on, this is something that turned me off playing mobile games, was, you know, you can see in the bottom right-hand side there, you've got your attacks and your spells and all that sort of stuff. Lower left, although you can't see it on this screen at this point in time, is where you'll have, your thumb for moving on the screen and so on and so forth.
This could also be the PC version, which might not have that.
Right, okay.
Oh,
well, this is probably the PC version,
yeah.
Right? However... What you're looking at is exactly what I'd be looking at with the mobile version. So parody there, straight off the bat. But it felt so smooth. It felt so well done that it didn't feel out of place to me. Often playing mobile games of this caliber feel a little bit clunky to me. They feel a little bit out of the place. They feel a little bit like the controls don't quite work the way that they should. Didn't have any issues with that whatsoever. Inventory system and builds... very simple, very easy to put together. And I love the simplicity with which that they have put in skills, and you can see, you know, your inventory and so on and so forth. It's, to me, I've sometimes, as somebody who's more of a casual gamer but would love to continue playing games like this, I've stayed away from Diablo and these style games because I've often felt the inventory quite overwhelming.
Mm.
They've simplified the inventory with this game. And it's very just plug and play. It's very jump in and just get going. It's like they've gone, we're developing this for somebody who's sitting, you know, on the train for an hour, or who's sitting at the doctor's surgery in their seat just waiting for the doctor to call them in. God knows what the doctor's doing behind that door in between patients. I don't know why it takes them so fucking long to come out there and call my name. But anyway, that's another story.
But I can really appreciate, like, what you just said about the fact that, I guess, for casual gamers, for people who might not have enough time to invest in something that could potentially be quite complex, that's what really appeals to you. And I can really appreciate that as someone who catches a lot of public transport and everything as well. I'm quite intrigued.
And I feel like this is how it's been built. This has literally been built for you to just be like, okay, I'm going to jump in because I've got 15 minutes up my sleeve. All right, I'm going to muck around for 15 minutes. Ah, I'm at my stop now. I'm going to jump off the train. I'll come back to this when I get a chance to come back to it. And I've been playing it that way for the past 2 or 3 days now, and it hasn't felt out of place whatsoever.
Mm.
And there's enough going on for me to continue to want to come back to it. So I'm really impressed. And admittedly, I've got to do more reading and research into this, but the thing that may end up turning the community against this game, which we're already starting to hear about, are the microtransactions littered through it. Now, because it's a native mobile game, we're going to get microtransactions. It's just part and parcel of the build.
Mm.
But I'm already hearing things like, you know, could literally be as high as $100,000, $110,000 by the time you finish spending all of the money that you want to spend when it comes to microtransacting in this game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really interested to know, and I guess this is like an open question to anyone at this stage, like are the upgrades or whatever benefits that the microtransactions give you attainable without them, or whether there are things you can only get exclusively?
I don't know. That's a great question. I'm not going to know that probably for another week as I start to really, really play this game a lot.
From what I've heard and read, so you need to max out your gear and get to that top level, you need these things called legendary gems.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just get legendary gems. You've got to get them from legendary crests, which are Diablo Immortal's version of loot boxes.
Right.
So it means that you could buy a crap ton of these loot boxes and not actually get the gems. You know, it's... Well, I'm not sure of the drop rate, but, you know, with it being a loot box style thing, you would imagine that it was randomised a bit.
Well, everyone's just said to get all the crystals to fully max out your character, the same crystals that you cannot earn in-game.
Yeah.
So you can't max out your character just by playing. Now, that's where I have an issue.
Okay, so if that's the case, and I'm sorry that I haven't read that far and played that far into this, but upon hearing that, if that's the case, that's already going to piss me off about the build of this game.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing where we have to balance that out, right? I downloaded this game for free.
Mm.
And so at some point, there's got to be a cost, all right? And it's hard. It is a real hard thing because as users, as players, right, we're so used to... No, we can complete a game. We can have an end game without having to pay for it, right? And usually we've fronted that cost up, you know, we've paid that cost up front to buy the game anyway. That something like this, to max out your character, feels foreign, right? To have to pay for that privilege to max out your character. Something that feels so organic, so natural. Something that feels like it should be part of the game, as in maxing out your character. The reason why you're grinding in the first place, right? That's why it feels so foreign. At the same time, we have not paid for this game.
Yeah.
And already, I'm getting enjoyment out of this game from the last 2 or 3 days that I've been playing it for a good few hours now. And I have been playing it enjoyably for a few hours where, like, I've still yet to sink any money into this game, and yet I'm feeling like they've done enough where they deserve to be paid for it.
I completely agree. And that's also why, like, for example, some free-to-play games that I play, like League of Legends, for example, Apex Legends. There's a theme. There's not just Legends games.
Just Legends games. Legends.
Legendary Legends.
I've, like...
Legends of Zelda.
The next microtransaction-ridden game.
Oh, God.
No, I genuinely, I have the same kind of outlook on that thing. Like, I haven't paid a cent for that game, and I've spent many hours playing it, and I've gone, you know what? I think I am just going to spend, you know, sometimes it's just as little as
can
like...
Can you just pause this here really quickly? Sorry, straight.
Just sometimes it's that. Just as little as like $15 for like a battle pass or yep. some kind of pass or something, because I've gone, okay, you know what? There are still people working on this game, like to create what I'm enjoying here.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I just put a little bit towards it, then that's something. And the reason I like doing it for those games in particular is because like I don't have the one-up on anyone. They're usually just cosmetics and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it gets to the point where it's like, well, like your only way to progress this far is by paying for something and that will give you advantages over other said person who hasn't paid for something, then I'm just like,
Yeah. Pay to win is not the way to do
this. I get it. See, this again, this is a hard one because you haven't, like if it was like Overwatch where you, okay, so Overwatch is a little bit different because you're only ever paying for cosmetics, right? But if it was like, an Overwatch style of formula where you pay your entrance fee, like you pay your $60 to $80 for the game, and then you, I mean, Overwatch had their ass handed to them by the community when they had to reveal, I think it was somewhere in Europe, I can't quite remember, but they had to reveal in one of the courts the exact percentage.
Like the drop rates?
The drop rates, yeah. Right, yeah. Your exact drop rates. And it was like, oh shit! Like you, like they're actually to a degree taking advantage of people's money, right? So
they are. They're like loot boxes and
it's gambling.
They're predatory, and like countries are starting to ban them. Like I think Belgium's banned them altogether.
I think it might have been Belgium But this is the thing. Like you haven't, like I get what you're saying, but you haven't paid for. You haven't paid to get into the game. You know what I mean? Like this is a. This is a free game. So I'm kind of like...
But like, even with like a free game, the concept of pay to win...
No, okay. So I don't necessarily see this as pay to win. I'm on the fence about this being pay to win.
Okay.
Right? And I totally get the fact that yes, you know, higher levels and grinding your character up, at some point you hit a ceiling and then to go beyond that, 100% that looks like pay to win. But there's an overall sort of feeling where it just doesn't quite feel like this is built to be pay to win. You know, like we had when we had Star Wars, the Battlefront 2 Furor, yeah. That was from the outset, that was pay to win. Like you could literally day one get in that game and go, I'm just going to buy all this epic shit and kill everybody, right? This one here, you've got a lot of game that you get to play before you get to a level where you go, I might actually need to spend some money here. And I almost feel like what we'll end up seeing is we'll end up seeing segregations, right, in terms of the people that are that committed to this game, and that means they're that committed to all of the multiplayer faction stuff as well, will end up forming their own sort of separate groups up here while the casual gamers will sort of just continue playing the game. And they'll be... You know, you'll have your two sides of the factions and there'll be a shit ton of people with that are paying to continue to grind up their character.
Now, forgive my lack of knowledge here because I personally have never played Diablo. The closest thing I've ever played is Minecraft Dungeons. But, like, I... don't laugh.
Close enough?
No, well, it's probably... I like the idea of the game. But in this game particularly, Diablo Immortal, you're still going up against, against any real players, are you?
No. So
so there's no PvP.
No, there is PvP.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a great website called GameOnOz.com, and if you go there, an absolute legend put together this story around Diablo Immortal. I'll just bring it up for you. And this was the sort of release around it.
Not Dialogue Immortal.
Not Dialogue Immortal. Not Diablo Immoral. There he is, Peter Kurulai. Never heard of him.
Oh.
But
sounds like a bit of a tosser, really.
A bit of a tosser. But this guy, like, so this was during the story I was talking about, the Horror Dream cosmetic set. And so we're in Sanctuary. It's a place between Diablo 2 and Diablo 3. Players traveling through 8 unique zones to gather the shards of the Shattered World Stone before the Lieutenant of Diablo. Oh, I did a typo in here.
Oh, no.
I called it Diablo. Himself, Skarn, gets to them first. So this is all of that sort of stuff, right? Which is all in good. So then you've got the Cycle of Strife PvP. So it brings players together in faction conflicts between Shadows and Immortals with an added bonus game mode. The top player of a server will gain the Eternal Crown, become the leader of the Immortals before having to defend their reign 1 versus 30 against the Shadows. And then there's also social elements including warbands and clans. Clans will have player caps of 150 members. You can work together to grind achievements. You can participate in server-wide PvP faction conflicts. So there's a lot of PvE, but there's also a lot of PvE in this game, and that's what I mean. I feel like the people that are that invested to the point where they'll pay money are the ones that are going to be grinding hell of PvP, and they're going to be playing a lot of this game, and there's going to be enough of them in these faction wars to almost create their own sort of cloud of people right at the top. This is why, to a degree, this doesn't feel like pay to win for me.
Okay.
I'm trying to.
Oh, no. I didn't say no. Okay like that. No, I was.
She's fine. She's really fine.
No.
Can we read some through the? Because there's a lot of comments that have been popping up.
I've just stolen Jim's phone. If you want.
Hang on. Can you guys just give me a sec?
Look, I. The problem.
What do you think?
I have a problem with pay to win. Like, I have a big problem with it. I would rather have something like, and I'm coming from a SWTOR, Star Wars: The Old Republic background. Like, exactly. They have a free to play option, and a lot of MMOs do this now, where they give you some stuff to play and lock off higher level stuff. But that's one thing to do that, and there is content locked behind there, but. And things like Apex Legends, League of Legends, Halo as well, you've got the Battle Pass, but it's always cosmetics.
You know what you're paying for as well.
Yeah. And loot boxes themselves are just extremely predatory. Like, they're just – I hate them with a passion. And there's a reason – like, there's some documents that came out in terms of the countries that are looking to ban them or the ones that have. Like, because I know the UK was looking really hard at them because no offense to Belgium, but Belgium banning loot boxes doesn't really affect bottom line of these companies. There's not a big enough market in Belgium for that, but somewhere like UK doing it with big English-speaking place that's going to be looking to ban them. There was some terminology that came out in there, and it was very much like gambling. Mm. Like, they talk about whales, which is the thing that Pete was just talking about there, where it's the people that they're taking to get these, that will pay these huge amount of money and will spend a lot of money on it to pay for people like Pete who's just playing it casually. Yeah, and look, there's nothing wrong with that, but the pay-to-win aspect of it is still difficult for me to swallow. You shouldn't have to pay to get those gems, and the fact that it's so random as well. So you've got to get legendary gems, which you can't just buy legendary gems. You've got to get them through these legendary crests, which are your loot boxes. Not only that, but one of the makers of this game, one of the directors, I think, came out and said about a month before Diablo Immortal was released that there was no way to acquire or rank up gear using real-world money. And that is technically true because you're not paying to directly upgrade them, but you need these gems to do it. And yes, a lot of the people aren't going to play it, but the ones that do, it's going to cost them a crap ton of money.
Sorry, I've lost my Apple Pen.
Oh, no.
But you came back with crackers. You came back with food, and that's so okay with me. So
that's okay. You want a cracker?
I love a cracker. I'll have two. Thank you. Not that I meant to take two. That's just what came out of my
head. No, it's fine. Yep. I feel like, honest to God, one of my daughters took it. That's what I feel like's happened.
But your daughters are so well behaved and do as they're told all the time.
Yeah, that's a good one. Little sweethearts. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sorry I've sort of jumped in on the end of this conversation. But I just wanted to point out, this is one thing that pissed me off as well about this, and I've asked you to pause it. And this bloke by the name of Deckard Kane, D-E-C-K-A-R-D, and I feel like they missed a genuine opportunity to call him Dickard instead of Deckard.
Can we get Reflex in to talk about this one?
Duckard.
Yeah.
Hey, Flexi.
Love Jesus, it's coming down, isn't it? The rain's coming down, guys.
I can hear it through the microphone.
The rain's are here.
I'm just having a bit of a read of the chat because obviously everyone's talking about Diablo and everything like that. And then we've also had brought up as well FIFA Ultimate Team. Mm. And I personally know someone who has spent a lot of money on FIFA Ultimate Team. And then Dormat says, my friend...
That's another EA game, by the way.
Genshin Impact.
Mm. What about Genshin Impact? I'm not familiar with the play stuff in that.
It's a gotcha game. Like, it's another free... And here's the thing. I have no problem with a free-to-play game. It's got to make money somehow. But for Genshin Impact, it was very much a mobile game on PC. Because it did have mobile stuff on it as well. But you could only do so much... before the game went, oh, cool, you're done for today. You want to do more, you got to pay.
I never came across that personally.
I think I came across it once, but then I got bored with
it. But, like, I managed to do the, whatever you call them, the little random, I guess they're loot boxes, but I never had to pay for one, but it did get grindy to get to the point where I did try and roll for a new character. Mm. I'm probably explaining it really badly because it's been a long time since I've played, but I can see how people can
this
get
Genshin.
Yeah. I can see how people can get easily wanting to have a certain character because all the characters, like the art styles and the types of characters there are very appealing and look really cool, but when you just don't get the one you want, like it's never that simple. You have to kind of roll for it essentially. Lots of examples out there. Dormat says, you're locked out of character story quests if you don't own the said character and then make you pay through your teeth for them.
That's for Genshin Impact.
Genshin,
I think that's a shit show.
Yeah.
That is an absolute shit show.
Mm.
I miss Molly Makes.
I also think as well with Diablo in particular is that Diablo... gamers and Diablo fans aren't used to this sort of way of playing. So
that's very true.
And I think when you take a title as big as Diablo with as big a fan base as it has and you release this, and yes, we have phones, but, you know, that's not the point. Mm. You've fundamentally changed how a game with a huge fan base operates. There's always going to be backlash as well, and especially when you do it like this.
Well, it's interesting because the pricing model on this game is mobile, and yet you can play it on PC.
Yeah.
So it's funny that it's just very interesting. You raise such a great point there.
But you know what that tells me though? That tells me that this game is aimed at the Asian market. Because mobile gaming is so huge in Asia.
Well, they are the biggest mobile gaming market in the world.
So that's what that tells me. And they're very much used to this stuff that we're complaining about, where they're having to pay to max out their characters and stuff like that. They're already used to it. That system already exists up there. They don't, you know, that's what they've been doing. So that's also what tells me that this is aimed at that market.
Sorry, I'm just watching Ariond and Styx have a go at each other over Destiny 2.
Oh no, well Charlie involved himself in it. So
Charlie, what are you doing? Destiny 2 is the best value free to play game. It's not a free to play game.
It is.
It is now.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, ages ago. They changed it.
The base and most of the expansions are. I think the latest expansions you have to pay for. But yeah, it's free to. It went as soon as
they got a lot of backlash.
Who makes Destiny? It was whoever
Bungie.
Yeah, as soon as Bungie separated from Activision, they went free to play.
So for entry level content, and then you pay for extra content essentially.
Yeah,
yeah, I'd class that as free to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I'd definitely put that is a free to play model.
Mm.
Yeah. Even though it didn't start off like that.
Mm. No, that's the thing. That's the interesting thing about Destiny is it didn't start out like... But, funnily enough, it probably should have started out like that. If we're thinking about all the way back to vanilla.
But the, here's the thing, like, I look at it in terms of SWTOR as well, because...
SWTOR.
Yeah, I've been playing that since it was released, and that was 10 years ago now. And after about a year and a half of release, they announced that they were going free-to-play.
Yeah.
And at that time, free-to-play was where games went to die. That meant they were in super trouble, and that people just weren't subscribing or weren't buying them.
They were losing their user base.
Yeah, and it was seen as a last-ditch attempt to get people in. But now it's a pretty common thing you see. Like, MMOs, they quite often just say, here, you can play it free-to-play up to here.
Yeah.
And go from there. You know, it, if you like it, then you can, like, the SWTOR free-to-play model is you get to a certain point. And yes, I'm being distracted by chat.
I'm so sorry.
No,
sorry,
no, 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 no.
I'm looking at I'm seeing it on
crazy.
I'm seeing it on my phone, like, and I'm, it's like it's all caps. It's
this
like,
is clan wars.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Seeing all the arguing in the chat.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, like it's a good model that games can use to and they can get their money through cosmetics and stuff like that. But it's when done right, it's a really good thing. When done wrong, it is predatory and just feels like they're out for money.
I think for me is like if something is introduced into the game where something requires real money to be better or have better skills or whatever, get the advantage over someone who doesn't pay for that same thing, I have a big issue with that.
So this, and forgive me for not knowing this information. I should know this information. But when you start pumping money into this game to grind up past the ceiling, past the free-to-play ceiling, are you able to go into a marketplace? Are you going into a marketplace and buying – so you're buying gems. That's what you're doing? You're buying crystals.
You're buying loot boxes that have gems in them.
Right, you're buying loot boxes. You're buying loot boxes that have gems in them?
Yeah, and that's the only way to get the gems.
Yeah, but hang on. Isn't the gems currency?
Or can you only get them through the boxes?
You can only get them through the loot boxes.
Then how does that work? The boxes
Why are you... Or do loot boxes have gems and some other things?
I'm assuming they have other
things. I need to know more about this!
So what I picture happening is that you'll get to some point and you'll have some resources in-game that you need to use to upgrade your gear, but it will get to a certain point and you need these gems as a resource to be able to do it. Mm. And the only way to get these gems is through the loot boxes. So legendary crests are what the loot boxes are called in Diablo Immortal.
Micro transactions. Yeah. I still can't believe they didn't call him Dickard.
Oh, wait, hold on. Did Styx time out Ariond? No. Ariond's back. Oh my god.
Okay.
For future reference, let's not ever mention Destiny again. It's just going to create some fire.
Nah, let's do like one whole show on Destiny.
On Destiny, yeah, just on Destiny. Destiny.
And on how it may or may not be free to play.
Destiny only podcast. That's the content people want.
That's it. Twitch chat demands it.
Okay, so... This is on a tweet. Okay, hold up. It's got to be American. Ted Basinski. Slootbag. At Slootbag is his tag. Okay, hold up. Am I understanding this correctly for Immortal? Once you get a legendary gem to rank 10, you can further enhance that gem and its item's power to the next level, Awakening, which needs a mat that literally only comes from the store for $15. So that's what that means. Right.
The mat would be material that you need to do it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're buying the material to up the rank on these gems to increase your overall rank.
Yeah.
Man, I'm drunk. I am drunk. I am so drunk. And so is the pisshead that put this fucking microtransaction set together. Bit drunk.
I feel like that was...
Go to Macca's. Yo. Blizzard. Go to McDonald's. Get yourself half a dozen cheeseburgers.
sober the fuck up, and then come back to me with a new microtransaction set. I think I'm going to cry.
So just to draw a line under this, because I feel that we moved on from talking about a bloody good game of the week to just ranting about...
Well, we got there, didn't we?
We did.
We so, got there. Because so weren't we going to talk about this anyway?
We were.
So we got there.
There was going to be our segue.
Great segue.
So great. We didn't even notice we were doing it ourselves. But yes, so those were our bloody good games of the week that we've been playing. Thanks to Aussie Broadband.
Angrily Broadband.
That's it. It was really just an excuse for me to switch.
And
back
now
to
it's
this
like,
scene.
Was it a bloody good game of the week? Was Diablo?
No. This is the thing. It's a good game. I am enjoying the hell out of it. You take the microtransaction shit out of it. Casual Gamer Pete is going to sit on the toilet later on tonight and pluck this game out and continue playing it. That to me is I'm enjoying it. Tomorrow, when we're all sitting around the table after we finish the radio show in a very important post-show meeting that I should be paying attention to, I will be in the corner playing this game again. This is what I mean. It's a great game. It's just microtransactions, just, you know. So the most efficient way to gain legendary gems is also very expensive. You'd need to spend $100 on the game's premium currency, which can't be earned under any circumstance except spending cash.
Oh, that now, yeah.
Yeah.
Which would net players 45 legendary crests, making each one about $2.20. There is apparently a fail-safe feature that guarantees one legendary gem when the player buys 50 legendary crests, but Twitch streamer Quinn69 spent close to $3,000 without seeing a single five-star gem.
What?
Yeah, that annoys the shit out of me.
That is a shit show. Other microtransactions are peppered into endgame content too, such as a $15 purchase being currently the only way to make legendary gems to their maximum potential, known as the Awakening. And I will tell you guys now.
Everyone said, so that's the real reason why Pete's selling his house, so he can afford to max out one character in Diablo Immortal.
Mate, honestly, selling my house, I'm still not affording that. I'm still not affording that. That's the worst part about it. And you know what? Destiny 2 is a free to play.
Oh, it's never got a rest, is it?
I feel like you're a bit revved up, Pete. And I do like this because
let me at him.
In our Discord
let me
today.
At them.
One of our legends, Styx.
Thank you for the cheers, Charlie.
Yeah. Styx shared this video, popped up on his Facebook feed.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And I
look
do,
how young I am.
2018.
I do admire... why is there no volume on this?
I'm going young.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's his name. You are the gamer's antichrist.
Oh, go to the beginning. Go to the beginning. Right. No, I remember this one. I remember doing this one. You'll love this. Go to the beginning.
I've got you in my sights.
Bill fucking Morrow.
Morrow! Bill Morrow,
chief executive noob at NBN yes. Co.
Yes.
Yes.
That's his name.
I do like
you
it when Pete gets
revved
up. You
are the gamer's antichrist.
Oh, my God.
You are Bowser. You're every boss in Dark Souls ever. Just listen to you and you died. You're Ganon. You're Dr. Wily. You're Kerrigan. You are Dominus Gaul. You are the expansion passes of Destiny.
Your
Malcolm!
He is! He's Malcolm!
Your gaming websites that review movies and TV shows.
All right,
I can hear you through that headset.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, your rage is exuding like...
And
listening to this is like I'm yelling at myself.
Yeah. It's great, and I feel it was appropriate, not just because of how you were getting revved up talking about the loot boxes there, but you... You talked to us earlier in the week about this.
It was Captain Perth. Somebody should have told Captain Perth to jump in it because I'm going to go him as well. I will fight anyone that tries to hurt my favorite anxiety, Olive. Now, this is off the back. This is his tweet. He retweeted the Pokemon account. Meet Smoliv, the Olive Pokemon. In the fruit on its head, Smoliv stores oil made from nutrients it gathers through photosynthesis.
It prefers...
... and I did not bother to read the rest of that shit. Because this is the deal. Nintendo, you are scraping the bottom of the fucking barrel.
Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet, which we all should be excited for. Out comes Smoliv. Is that the best you can do? You've literally just gone into the kitchen and gone, what two things can I throw together? Hang on a sec. What have we got lying around here? Oh, there's a jar of olives. Green olives. Oh, that's fantastic. God, they're small, aren't they? Oh, Smoliv. Yeah, okay. I just put an olive on his head and then just draw another olive underneath it and just put eyes and face on it. That's literally what you guys have done. That's what you've sat around in your office and you've put together for your new set of Pokemon. You are running out of ideas, Nintendo. It's time to open up and be honest to us all. But that is what is going on right now.
This is what? On the screen. That's how I feel standing next to you right now.
Small? No. Large. Smoliv.
Smaller.
Smoliv.
Just the panic in the face. I was trying to zoom in on it a little bit more.
Jesus Christ. I mean, seriously. His ability is early bird. Shut up. You've literally gone into one of those simulators online where you go, I'm just going to throw two words together, spit something out for me. That is what this feels like.
You know what? I could do that. I could come up with all sorts of shit. I'll show you guys. I'll show you guys exactly what they did. I will show you guys what they did. Here.
Oh, is this?
There you go. There's a bottle of water. And I'm just going to grab what's lying around. I've got a Sharpie pen. There you go. I've got a Sharpie pen. I'm going to draw two little eyes. I'm going to draw a couple little eyes on the water. And I'm going to put a little face on the water there. I'm going to give it hands. And I'm going to put hands there. And that's, there you go, guys. I'm going to take the screw off. I've taken the screw off, right? And it's a bottle of water. And it's going to be called Water Off. Water off. There you go. The screw is off. It's a bottle of water. Water off.
You could get a job work naming Pokemon, though.
I know I can. Yeah. That's the problem. You can piss off. No, I don't want that. What else have I got? Here we go. Yeah.
Oh. I'm scared.
There's a plank of wood.
You want to move your box over here?
There's a plank of wood, guys. Here's how they name Pokemon on Nintendo. Here's a plank of wood. Oh, guys, we've got new games coming out. Somebody tell us, what are we going to do with the new games? Oh, let's just look around, see what we've got here at the office, guys. We can start throwing some names together. We've got a plank of wood.
I feel that's like fantastic. We're playing Mr. Squiggle at the moment. And any moment, Blackboard's going to come up and say, hurry up.
Put a nose on it and put a bloody mouth.
Upside down.
That looks like the smaller mouth.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're all the same mouths, Stormy. They're all the exact same mouths. And you need to put little eyebrows
just
on it.
Just quietly as well. How much you want to bet that when this thing evolves, its final form is going to be something fearsome. Like, it's going to want to eat your soul.
Here we go. Fearsome. And there's this little box of, like, this empty box of crackers. And we're going to call him, and we're going to stick that on his left, and he shoots crackers for some reason.
Oh, Cracker Box. That's going to be his name.
No, that's a stupid name. Straight. Oh. That's a terrible name. Come up with something more creative.
It's okay. I like it.
We're going to call him... What's on here? Sweet potato and rosemary wafer crackers. You know what? We're going to call him Waferboard. That's what we're going to do. We're going to call him Waferboard.
And that's better than Cracker Box?
That is. You know what? It's about on the same level, if I'm honest.
Mate, you need to go and get the Maccas as well.
Check it out. There's Waferboard, everybody. I'm a Pokemon. I'm Pokemon 1057 or whatever, because the people who created me have started running out of ideas and decided that they'd just look around the office and see what they had lying around, throw a couple of things together, and that's your new Pokemon. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to put this in the exact same game as we've been releasing for the last 30 years, and we're going to sell it to you again for $99.95 at your local EB Games. That's exactly what they're doing at Nintendo, and it's time to stop.
Not just that, but they're releasing two of them, so you got to buy it twice.
So this is what they do, right? This is what they do. So we've got, what's his name? Cracker Box or whatever?
Yeah, Cracker Box.
Cracker. Good name. There's Cracker Box, yeah. All right? That's in Pokemon Scarlet. What are the new Pokemons?
Scarlet and Violet.
Scarlet and Violet. There's Cracker Box, and he's in Pokemon Scarlet. And then this is you go, you've got to get Pokemon Violet, right? If you want the other Pokemon associated with him, and so you can get Box Cracker. That's how these games work.
Oh.
For Christ's sake. I've had it.
I apologize to everybody. I feel like I just wound it up and let it go, and we're here now.
I've had it. There is no creativity in games anymore. Absolutely none.
Dormat goes, I thought Legends Arceus showed that we don't need two games, Nintendo.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm going to rant for a little bit here because it's always been one of my pet hates about Pokemon. Like, you release a game, you tell everybody to catch them all, but then you make it so that there are some Pokemon that are in this version that aren't in this other version and some Pokemon that are in that version that aren't in this other version. So you make me buy two games to catch these Pokemon.
That's it. You tell
them. Or you could just trade with your friends.
I don't have friends. Who do you think I am?
Oh.
No. That's right. We're acquaintances.
That's right. We're work friends. But no, yeah. I do. I get that you're supposed to trade, but it just, it didn't, oh. Still me.
Stay there. Charlie, come here. You too.
Yeah. Charlie, come stand on the box.
Come stand on the box. I'm really pissed that I've lost my Apple Pen. It's a $200 pen.
Is this another rant?
No,
can,
not
can
yet.
Can we go for three?
Not yet. It will be next week if I rock up and it's still not here. Anyway, anything else going on?
Oh, so just, you know, to top it off, the chat about, you know, unoriginality in gaming and whatnot. Glad. So there was another thing that came up earlier this week about GoldenEye again, because somebody caught wind that GoldenEye 007 achievements appeared on an Xbox website. Fueling speculation again, which I feel sort of gets fueled every year or so, that GoldenEye is going to get a release on the Xbox.
Of course, it's coming from Press Start. That doesn't surprise me in the least.
Well, here's the thing, though.
There you go. Stoke the fire. Come on.
No, no, because there was a link in the article that that actually went to the Microsoft website.
You what?
There was a link in here which actually went to the Xbox, the official Xbox website. And I went, no, I can't sign in. I don't. But, yeah, it went there.
My computer does not like Press Start. No.
But, yeah, but you could actually see the achievements.
I'm friends with people there.
Oh,
not
good
just
for you,
acquaintances.
Mate. You tell myself why.
Yeah, well, it's fine. Sorry, Jim,
Shannon?
Go on.
You're interrupting me, work friends.
Tell them I said hi.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, but, sorry, go on.
But basically, it was fueling reports again that GoldenEye 007 is going to appear on the Xbox, not just the remake that came out on the Wii first and then on the Xbox and PlayStation, but an actual proper remastering of the Nintendo 64 version, which exists. And if anybody's looked at it in depth, you can actually get an Xbox 360 emulator and play the Xbox Live Arcade.
So why do we need this then? If it exists, do we need this?
Because an official version doesn't exist. It was leaked and you can play it in an Xbox 360 emulator, but it doesn't officially exist. It hasn't been released.
Do you think they're just going to release it as it was originally, or do you think they're going to like fully remake it?
I think that they will probably... If it happens, I think that they will probably take that Xbox 360 Live Arcade version that exists and maybe touch that up a little bit. Because it was exactly like I played it somehow. I'm not going to tell you how I played it because it might have been not quite legal. But I played it and it was exactly GoldenEye. Just looked a lot better.
I have to ask this, and I'm going to show my age a little bit here, but I never played GoldenEye. And I don't know why I feel like everyone... is raving about GoldenEye. Like, what was the appeal?
The thing about
Is this the game that was compared to Perfect Dark? Like, were those two games? Because I played Perfect Dark.
Well, Rare made GoldenEye 007, and they also made Perfect Dark. So Perfect Dark came, and I must admit, I missed playing Perfect Dark when it first came out on the Nintendo 64 because I was a kid and it came out late in the Nintendo 64's life.
Okay, because I played Perfect Dark because I was like forced to by a friend like a couple of years ago because it was on Game Pass, I think.
But also, you got to take into account the all-encompassing sort of environment that it was released in. Like GoldenEye 007 was the reimagining of the GoldenEye series I'm not thinking of mature. Christ, not a mature audience.
It was a growing audience. Really.
No, it was for a new audience, for a new age. Like that GoldenEye 007 was that. So that movie was huge. Mm. Like that, you know, Pierce Brosnan was already doing his thing, but that catapulted him into becoming a star. Mm. And
it was also the first Bond movie in years.
It was the first Bond movie in years. Mm. But it was also the first Bond movie that didn't look like it had been shot on, you know, one of those bloody cameras from the 60s. Like, you know, and it didn't have Sean Connery. I don't even know the names of the other ones.
Still had Desmond Llewellyn as Q, though.
Yes, yeah.
But that's the thing. So, like, you know how the general sort of pop culture audience, how they reacted when they first heard of Daniel Craig as Bond,
yeah,
and then saw the first movie and were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
same thing with Pierce Brosnan.
Okay,
right. So there's that first, right, which helped, and then GoldenEye 007 was a genuinely good game. But it wasn't just playing through the story for 007 that was fantastic. This was the game that really started to introduce and bring into the mainstream the customization of the multiplayer,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, I remember sitting with my mates, like, having sleepovers, playing until 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock the following morning, like, going right through the night, playing, you know, bazookas in the basement, big heads with a golden gun. Like, you know, like, nobody's allowed to go odd job. Like, just shit like that. Like, that was... So this is what I mean in terms of this game. This is why this game is so big, I suppose, for people of our generation, like our sort of age and stuff, because this was a very redefining game in terms of, like, you know, how it made getting together with your mates and playing games feel.
Okay, well, that makes more sense now. Well, I'm excited for you guys.
Yeah. Well, and it was a Nintendo 64 as well.
Thanks for the raid, Flex 8.
Oh, we were talking about you earlier. We need you to say Deckard, Flexi.
Out loud.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
But but anyway, yeah, but it was the Nintendo 64 was the first game that had concurrent four-player multiplayer as well. And, like, that was the big thing. It's not so much the campaign on GoldenEye, although for a console shooter that it was a good, really good campaign at the time. It was the multiplayer that everybody played, and you would be there staring at your little corner of this stupid little 27-inch TV, just trying to work out where everything was. And it was just, it was just an institution. Like, you never, you can't describe it because that doesn't exist anymore. Everybody's playing online.
Yeah. No, you're right. All in the same room at the same time. And we're not talking in the LAN party sense either. Like, there's something very different about four people sitting in front of a console. And the only ones that have managed to somehow replicate that feeling in today's day and age, because they're still in some way native to this because of their party games, their first party IP, is Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same feeling when you're sitting in front playing Mario Party, you know, four controllers or whatever it happens to be. Switch Sports or blah, blah, blah. They're still holding on to that, you know. In fact, I mean, in many ways, they pioneered it. Like, the Nintendo 64 pioneered it, and then they're still holding on to it. It's still very much a part of Nintendo's brand and their IP, getting people playing together in the same room. But like that, like playing LAN on PCs, it's different. It's a different feeling.
Yeah, it's a different vibe.
It's a different vibe and a different feeling, you know. So, yeah, the funny thing about this is that I've still got GoldenEye 007 on the Nintendo 64, and it was about 5 years ago, and I pulled it out, and my wife used to play it too. So we put it on the telly and we were like, yes, this is going to be great. And it was shit. It was so bad because you've got the four C buttons are how you strafe and look, right? And then you can't, like, you sort of turn the reticle until it comes close enough to somebody, and then it flicks the gun and targets them. And, you know, there were just a lot of things where, like, at that time they were real genuine innovations, but now it's just like, this is a clunky piece of shit.
So I do want to get back to talking about the speculation that is coming out again, because I feel like this years and years ago it hit fever pitch when the remake of GoldenEye came out and they redid it. The maps were different. They used Daniel Craig as the Bond in it because it got released on the Wii first. And then a couple of years later it came to Xbox and PlayStation. But there was a lot of talk at the time about, why is it like this? Why are we not getting what we loved? And I remember looking into it because it was a very tangled web of game licenses. So Rare, who made the game, own the rights to the models, and Rare are now owned by Microsoft. just quietly. They got bought out not long after the Nintendo 64 finished up its era. Activision own the rights to James Bond games. Or they did at the time. I'm not sure if it's still... I would imagine it's probably still the same there, especially with MGM almost going down the gurgler. But Nintendo owned the rights specifically to GoldenEye.
So already you've got three key stakeholders with three really important different parts of the game.
Yep.
Night Flexi.
But back then, it was unthinkable that this would happen, and it's the reason that version of the Xbox Live Arcade GoldenEye exists. Because they got so close to doing it, they got right to the point where they were ready to flick the switch and they couldn't line up the licenses. But now, things are a bit different because Microsoft own Rare. They still own that stuff. They just have to jump through a few more regulatory hoops. They're going to own Activision and they're on good terms with Nintendo. So I can see no reason why this doesn't become a reality now.
Until then, what they need to do is they need to do the Pro Evolution Soccer model, which is try and get names as close to as they possibly can. Like how Pro Evo has, like, I don't know.
Bames, Jond.
Crustanino Ribaldi as Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, that's what they need to do.
M is suddenly W?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, sorry, that's too close to Nintendo changing Mario into Wario.
Wario! It's interesting. It's very interesting. Hopefully they can fix it. I would love to see this game come back in some sort of like...
Me too.
Yeah. Honestly, I'd play this game again if not for the fact that I'm playing it on the 64 as clunky as shit controls.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's about all for tonight because I've just looked down at my watch and realised it's...
6:10.
It's 6:10.
Sorry, I went on a few tangents tonight.
You did. But
you did.
I'm sure we've got a few more clippable moments there, Pete.
A little bit of note for you.
Yeah, just quietly, my Twitter has been pinging all day with your Pingu.
With your Pingu. Yeah, Pingu. Same. Yeah. Well, same.
That was a one show only, guys. I have to feel that. I can't just make it happen. I can't be forced. I'm an artist. All right.
But yes, that's it for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you to all the subs and bits that got thrown around in chat.
Hey, a lot of stuff tonight. I appreciate the support, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Can you please jump in our Discord if you haven't? Can you please do us a favor? Can you, like... Find all of our podcast stuff and subscribe and give us like great ratings and stuff, please. Really appreciate that.
If you have a look at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GameOnOz, all our shows go up on there as well, as well as the weekly show going up on podcast formats, which hopefully we might be seeing a little bit of change in that and getting all the shows on there shortly.
DJ Next, excited for World of Tanks content.
Oh, yeah. That's coming up next after this, so stick around. We're going to get into that very, very shortly. We've got some really great interviews. I spoke to the captains of the two ANZB League teams that are playing off in their grand final.
So unreal.
That was Fury from the Badgers and PP Power from the Comets. And also spoke to Rowendi from the North Sydney Sentinels, who have already earned their spot in the ANZPL grand final as well.
Aussie KLM. We came here for what?
Yep.
You're going to get it.
Very shortly. We're just going to say bye.
Up the Panthers.
Come on, Panthers.
Are they in the final?
They're playing in a consolidation final on Friday against the Scorpions.
What does that mean?
It means if they win that, they get into the grand final.
Come on, you Panthers. Up the Panthers. Let's go. And who's that, Quickie?
Yes, I forget which one he is. But that's one of the captains of one of the B League teams.
Oh, fantastic. Yep.
So, we will be swapping over right now to those interviews. So, stick around for that.
Big thanks to Aussie Broadband for the support as always. And you guys have a wonderful week.
Catch you guys.
Bye.
Ta ta.
Bye.
Hey guys, thanks so much for watching. Thanks for all your support. You can do a little bit more though.
You can.
Hit us up on our YouTube. Drop us a subscribe. Is that how the cool kids say it?
Exactly right,
smash
mate.
That subs button.
Smash that subs button.
Smash that subs button. And you get to enjoy more Goa content.
Do it.